Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get back to college football. The Tennessee Vols finished 7-5 after five consecutive wins. Alabama has been eliminated from the college football playoff. Of course, the Nashville Predators take 7 out of their last 10 possible points. They win on Friday 3-0 and then lose on Saturday 3-0. The Tennessee Titans win as well against the Indianapolis Colts 31-17 over the weekend.
I didn't think the sun was going to rise today.
Yeah, well, right. No, well, hell's closed because the Titans beat the Colts in Indianapolis. Darren McFarland joining us here, of course, host of Darren Donick and Chase, coming up at 10 o'clock. Darren, we'll get to the Preds in just a second, but I did want to get your thoughts in general on just what you saw yesterday from the Tennessee Titans in a win over the Colts, something we've only seen one other time since 2007.
To think the sun was going to rise today, I think it's going to be like 85 and sunny with everything that took place.
No, I'm saying because Alabama is not in the playoffs, so I'm like, man, so it's not rising today.
Gosh, I didn't know we were talking about the Iron Bowl. I thought we were talking about the Titans and the Preds. And Braden, to your point, I mean, when you look at the record, I mean, going into that game, 1-10 in the last 11 trips to Indy, 3-19 the last 22 games in the NFL versus the Colts. I mean, that's like college stuff. Like that's Kentucky versus Tennessee. That's Vanderbilt and Tennessee. That's like rivalry series game. I mean, not in the NFL. And oh, by the way, can we throw in Peter Mrazek? The Predators beat Peter Mrazek. Hey, no longer undefeated against Peter Mrazek. I mean, and the Carolina Hurricanes, they ended a six-game losing streak. So a lot of good things happened in this market. The Predators ended what was a head-scratcher stat against Carolina and Peter Mrazek, and the Titans ended a head-scratcher against the Colts. And let's be honest. If we're being honest, I tweeted this out before the game. If the Titans can't beat the Colts without Ebron, who's on IR, done for the season, T.Y. Hilton, and Marlon Mack, if they can't beat them today, when is it going to happen? And, of course, when it was 17-7, I just sat there shaking my head going, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is really happening again. And then, you know, the fourth quarter came, and then good things happened. And now we're sitting here on Monday morning talking about a great Titans win.
Now, obviously, the Preds this weekend, you know, they won one, they lost one. But I think the big talk now is the continuation of Kyle Turris not playing. Paul gave an explanation. I don't think many fans, you know, are satisfied with that explanation, but it is what it is. Where do you think this goes, Darren? Because obviously when they lost Arvidsson, you know, for 6 to 7 weeks, you just thought that, okay, this is an opportunity for Kyle Turris to step back in and kind of get things going again. But they chose to bring guys up. They brought Carr up. They brought a couple of other guys up. And Kyle Turris is the guy that continues to be the odd man out. Where do you think this goes?
Ooh, there's a loaded question. I just watched the pig over the weekend. Maybe we could find a Zoltar machine and ask him. Although I think he just does wishes, right? So maybe he doesn't have the answer.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that on this weekend. I think I watched all of it as well. What a great movie.
I got afraid. My son watched it. He just turned 8, and now he's been asking me every day, can we watch Pig again? And I was like, whoa.
Tom Hanks looks so young.
He was young.
I know. But guess what? This is why he looks young. That movie was 31 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Which really dates all of us.
Yep.
Derek, I don't know where this is going. It's very clear that this is where the Predators are going right now. This is where head coach Peter Laviolette is going right now. This is the direction. I mean, they brought up Matthew Olivier to give him a spark, and they brought up Daniel Carr to give him a spark, and it's worked to a degree. And don't forget, UC Charles had three consecutive starts, which is the first time that had ever happened to Pacarine when he was upright and healthy since the first year in the league with the Predators. That's how long it had been since Pekka had sat and watched the backup have three consecutive starts while he was upright and healthy. So I just think this is just a matter of a coaching staff. It's just trying to figure out something that will work and will be sustainable for a while. Because we're sitting here talking about, yeah, the second half of the month got better, much better, but the first half of the month was not good. And as we sit here now, two months in, and the book is closed on 2 months, they are what they are, right? They're just an up and down. Right now, they look like they're an average team. They win some, they lose some. And you know, a lot of people don't feel like when you get to the playoff time, if that's what your body of work looks like for 82 games, if that's a good recipe. Now, some teams have been able to turn it on, and some teams have not. And by the way, right now, that recipe wouldn't even be good enough to get you in the playoffs. So I just think, honestly, I'm a little bit surprised because you guys both know this. This is what's surprising to me. What was the talk last year about Kyle Turris, and especially the vibe with the fan base? What was the vibe?
Probably disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Disappointed, mad. Like they were. Yeah. Just, they
get
were
rid so of them.
Right. Thank you. And what is now this new vibe? New vibe. It's free Kyle Turris. He's getting done. I was like, great, good for him. I like Kyle. Kyle's a good guy. But where was all it? Last year they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Now everybody's like, hey, bring him back. It's like, what just happened?
Well, and Darren, you know this, though. Fans are allowed to be hypocritical and change their minds and, you know, whenever they want to because they're fans and they're allowed to be that way. And it's not the same way for coaches and general managers. There's obviously a lot more that goes into it. I don't really have an issue with them saying to us, hey, Kyle Turris doesn't help us win right now. It's a lineup decision. I understand that. But the fans are owed more than that, in my opinion. The answer to the question is why. Otherwise, I'm sitting up here left to speculate, which is, in my opinion, again, total novice who does a radio show and doesn't host and doesn't coach hockey teams. But if he's not willing to go into the dirty areas, he's not going to stand in front of the net, and he's not going to play that role, that to me is at least something they could explain or say, or that they could go into the why. And I think the issue the fans have here is not as much about Kyle Turris and his point production, and it's more about the idea that Peter Laviolette has chosen to play this a certain way, which is the way he's always played everything, which is his prerogative. The idea is, why does he not help you win games right now when Victor Arvidsson is on the shelf for a month? And I think that's a fair question, and fans want to know, and they're not really giving us anything.
Now, that's a different layer to this, and I don't disagree with you. I said it last week on the show. I mean, Peter Laviolette has the right to handle it however he wants, but, I mean, if you think that just simply answering that question by it's a lineup decision or a coach's decision or however you want to answer it very, very briefly, and that everything is just going to go away and nobody's going to talk about it, I mean, I don't know. You know, he's been in bigger markets. I mean, I get it. This is Nashville, and maybe you think that maybe there's a chance it goes away, but it's not going away in any market. It just you can't make a decision like that and expect it to go away by just simply saying, well, that's just what I've decided to do, and that's that. Well, that's fine. That's okay. But people also have the right to ask the questions, to your point. And I said that. And I don't have a problem with people being angry that there's no explanation. And that's fine. But that's his right not to answer it. But it's also everybody else's right to do what you said, speculate, be mad, flip their roles, which is hilarious, which I think is great. But it's like last year, you're ready to run him out on a rail, and now it's free tourists. It's like, what just happened? But to your point, yeah, I'm okay with that part of it because you're right. If that's how you're going to answer it or you're not going to answer it, then don't be surprised. And then it creates more talk. The more you don't answer it, the more talk it creates. And everybody's okay to do it however they want on the side of the media covering it, the fans and their feelings, and the head coach and the organization. Everybody's in the right, but you also have to understand when you go down a certain path, you have to know what's in front of you. And what's in front of you, if this is what it's going to be for a good while, because you can come out and massage it. Both of you know this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, coaches have to massage things all the time. General managers have to massage things all the time. Floyd Reese is on our afternoon show. And Floyd Reese was the best massage therapist I've ever been around. I mean, you just basically lay on a table for an hour, and he'll talk to you for an hour, and it sounds really good. But really, when you start doing a deep dive into it, I'm not sure Floyd gave you anything, but you feel pretty good about it. You really do. And that's what general managers and that's what head coaches have to do. And he's choosing not to massage this topic. He's just choosing to shut it down. And then you get people are going to push back, if that's what you choose to do. And it's okay to choose to do it that way, but you could also come out and say exactly what you said. Look, right now, we're not playing the brand of hockey that we expect to play. We're not winning at the clip that we expect to win at. And so we've got to make changes. And sometimes those changes are tough changes and lineup changes. We're just trying to create a spark here. That's all we're doing. There's no issues. We're just trying to create a spark. you can do stuff like that. And, you know, I think people then just, everything just simmers down. Everything's quiet. Okay, well, that's what they're choosing to do. But I think the fact when you shut the door, it just leaves people to do exactly what we're doing right now, and that's just talk about it.
Yep.
That's my two cents.
No, I agree. What do you expect this week? You got Tampa at home tomorrow night. You get P.K. Subban, of course, and the Devils on Saturday, San Jose. So you get a nice home break here. You do have to play Buffalo on the road next week, but you get Dallas next Saturday. So basically two full weeks at home outside of one game. What are you looking for? What do you want to see from this team in those games as it pertains to building some consistency?
Well, I think that's just what it is. I mean, they've got to build some type of consistency. They're trying to get on a new run. And what better? There's a new month, new chapter, so get on that run. So how do you do that? Well, the penalty kill has looked a lot better, so maybe that's a start in the right direction. The penalty kill is, by the way, in Raleigh, it looked fantastic. I mean, Carolina looked like they had never been on a power play before. I mean, that's how good the Predators were killing off those penalties. So they've done a good job of killing off penalties of late. They got to get the power play going. I mean, what do they have, two power play goals in the last 10 games? I mean, they got to get that cranked up and going again. That's kind of drifted off to the side. And they just have to play better in front of Pekka or Juuse, whoever is in net. There's just too much traffic in front. There's too many bodies in front. I mean, look how Florida beat them. Florida, with all the firepower that they have, I mean, they've got some really talented players. And here we are talking about Strawman with a pair of goals. And, you know, Barkov is one of those huge talents, but how did they do that? They're all right there in front and nobody around them. And so to me, that's the problem. They'll have to clean that up because, you know, you just can't have that, because this level, teams will make you pay. So they got to keep bodies out of that crease, out of that slot area. They've got to give the goalies a chance to have cleaner looks and stop some of these things. You can't have these rebounds with bodies in front and nobody around them. So I would say to get things going in the right direction, that would probably be a good start.
Darren McFarland coming up at 10 o'clock. Darren, Donick, and Chase, we do appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, well.
I agree with almost everything he said. I'm thrown off right now because Marquise Munson is no longer sitting behind the board, and I'm staring.
Oh my goodness! I didn't realize that.
I'm staring at that ugly mug.
Yeah.
Now,
my main man.
Hello. Behind the board.
There he is, the voice.
I don't remember how to do this.
Turn the microphone off. We got to go to break.
Go to break.
Oh, look, now it's back like old times. Chase McCabe telling
me to go to break.
Chase McCabe telling me to go to break. Titans win tomorrow. We'll get into the ins and outs and the what have yous of the Titans' victory over the Colts, 31-17, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.